Peter Allam is standing by with today's Legal Eagle Chat, and a topic that I must admit I have actually never thought of before or thought about, and that is, who does your body belong to when you pass away, when you die? Peter, very good morning on a rather different topic today.
Morning, Wayne. Morning to the business after a weekend of hell and trees down all over the show and
power.
Lovely rain that we had and everything. Like you said, the dams are full, but you still need to manage it correctly.
Indeed.
Anyway, a really nice subject today, something that in all my years of law, I've never, ever thought of.
Uh-huh.
And it came about, my daughter Lee Allam Steyn, who practices in Australia these days at Atwood Marshall, she said to me, "Oh, Dad, I picked a subject. Who does your body belong to when you die?" And she found it so interesting. So, of course, quizzing me, and thinking of my show, she does some shows over there in Aussie as well.
Okay.
And I said, let me have a look. And it's an interesting thing, because the first part of it is that under common law, obviously, your body belongs to no one. It's that great Latin term, res nullius. In other words, doesn't belong to anyone. But it also is extra commercium. In other words, another great Latin word to say it cannot be owned or sold. So you cannot claim ownership and you cannot sell a body neither, okay? So while no one maybe owns your body when you die because of those two great Latin clauses, there are specific people that obviously have a right and a duty to possess your body, but purely for the purpose of burial or cremation, not for any other purpose. So who has the right to your body? You're supposed to add it to your will, something that's never, ever done. But you do find in the front of a will these days, people would say, "I would like to be cremated."
Right.
You know, that's a common clause in wills these days. So that in itself is giving an instruction to the people that you nominate as the executor as to what to do with your body. So if in your will you appointed someone in the will, or you can do it verbally. You know, a lot of people do that. You handle your burial. The courts will respect that if there's any dispute. And yes, man, there are disputes daily regarding who has control over the body. We'll talk about African customary law, which plays a huge role in that a little later. So the first person is that if you've nominated someone, then that person must take care and basically respect your wishes and carry them out. If you have put it into the will that the executor of the state must attend to it, there is an obligation on him just to make sure that you are buried or cremating. And the funds are used that are in the estate to do just that, because a funeral these days as well is not just a little 800 or 900 rand job anymore. It's thousands of rands. You know, I feel very sorry for the poor that cannot afford to bury people properly, but, you know, it's there. If you die without a will, what happens? Because we've said that your body is sorted by way of a nominated person or an executor. Then, of course, it falls into your legal heirs. The heirs historically follow the role of primogeniture. In other words, the eldest male is the one that normally does that. And that is to be found in a case decided of Mankatla versus Matiwana. The closest relatives, usually the surviving spouse or children or the eldest male in the family, will come to the fore and make sure that where there's no will, your body is properly buried or cremated. If no one claims your body, which often happens, I mean, your body is lying at the mortuary, nobody claimed them, then the National Health Act, of course, comes into play in South Africa and allows the state to step in. You know, after a certain period as well, if the body's been lying at the mortuary and nobody's claiming it, then, of course, it can be used for medical research at a university or be buried by the municipality as well. So a lot of medical stuff is also done to bodies that are not claimed, where you've got people that are, you get a hit and run, somebody dies on the side of the road, maybe he comes from another country, nobody can identify him, he's got no identity on him, that type of thing goes to the mortuary, and after a certain period of time, You know, they can use it for body medical research purposes. So the next thing as well that depends on what happens to your body and who your body belongs to is, of course, the manner in which your death has come about. There are two categories in South African law. You have a natural death and you have an unnatural death. But let's talk first about the natural death. This is death due to entirely natural causes, such as a disease. You know, you've picked up a stroke or something like that and died, or old age and you've just died. There's no external force. In those instances, the doctor will come along and you'll see on the death certificate, cause of death, natural death. Warning is when it says unnatural death, then you're in trouble. So a medical practitioner must issue the death certificate as well. You know, you can't just say, okay, so let's call, you know, the Stone Funeral Parlor, for example, in, and they issue a death certificate. They've got to make sure that it's done by a medical practitioner that's got to issue that death certificate. No police involvement is required. It's not for the police to come along and give it. You know, if you die naturally and you're taken away, a doctor must declare you dead. You know, examples of natural deaths are heart failure, stage four cancer, complications from a stroke and things like that. And an unnatural death, of course, is motor vehicle accidents. You've been stabbed, you know, you've hung yourself or something like that. So an unnatural death is any death that is not clearly due to natural causes. And yes, that has to be reported to the police. So if it's a road accident, if it's a stabbing, if it's a shooting like's happening all over the show these days, so sadly, then, you know, medico-legal autopsy mandatory. So, you know, you might be involved in a forest that's burning and you've burnt to death. You might have a fall off a mountain edge or something like that, a car accident. You know, that there is an example of external factor that needs to be checked. So it's not just as simple as, you know, oh, he died from starvation or something like that. And then, of course, you know, where somebody hasn't given a child or a person the care that's necessary. We had that in our Port Elizabeth courts where the lady has been found guilty of not looking after the child correctly recently, correctly so. And that's where somebody does not provide the necessary and required care. So, you know, looking after an elderly person, don't just say it's not my responsibility. You know, I didn't want to look after my grandfather. I don't have the means. I'm not going to. Be careful, because if he's in your care, you could be held liable for something like that. And then, of course, you know, the one that falls strictly under control in our country, of course, is medical procedures that go wrong. Obviously, death on an operating table or as a result of a complication or wrong medication and that type of thing has to be investigated. So, you know, the doctors and that can't cover up. I mean, family has gone in for an operation and died, you have a right to know what went wrong, what is the problem, etc. And of course, also other ones that are investigated is a sudden or unexpected death. You know, when you've got a guy that's healthy and all of a sudden he just falls down and dies. It's not an obvious natural cause. You've got to see what it is. So it just means that it's a little bit more cautious in instances like that. It's basically an unnatural death that needs to be checked. And then the other two that fit into it, which are not natural deaths, is suicide, of course. Suicide is considered an unnatural death in South Africa. It falls into that category. And the process there is that the police must open a inquest docket. A magistrate will eventually rule on whether the death was self-inflicted or if some other person was criminally responsible. A very interesting thing there. You know, it's not just straightforward. Find a guy hanging up on a rope and think that it's just that normal thing. It's not like that at all. You know, you get overdoses, you get self-inflicted injury where people shoot themselves and things like that. It's all of that that's got to be taken into account. So suicide is one that's very definitely an unnatural one, and that's got to be investigated properly. Homicide, death caused by the act of another person. Culpable homicide, very important. You know, you're involved in a car collision and you've overtaken someone on the wrong side of the road, driven head on to the other person, you're going to be charged. You're going to be responsible for that. That leads to a criminal investigation, and you can be charged with not only culpable homicide, you may well be charged with murder if it's found that you overtook at a place where it was not safe to do, which we have so often at the Canoobie Farmers Hall on that road.
Gee whiz.
Cowboys coming down there. I mean, it's a crazy thing. I think that must be the highest risk accident zone that we have. There's always somebody there. Or there's always people trying to run across that busy highway. You know, you come up from the blind course from the, I still call it the Transcar side, and then you've got people from the Newby Hall settlement there trying to cross the road. You know, silly. It's not the right place to do it. Too lazy to walk around the bridge, run across the road. I mean, I've seen some horrific ones there. So, you know, that will lead to murder or culp as well. The other common one that's happening all the time now, fatal shooting during a robbery, is something as well that's not natural, and that will be, you know, investigated. Then, of course, you know, you've got the situation where who does my body belong to, in the sense that there's special cases of people who donate their organs or their body and that type of thing. You know, the National Health Act does allow us in South Africa to gift our bodies, as they call it, or gift your organs and that type of thing. It's become a very common thing, organ donation or body donation. But there's a specific will for that, not just a case of, you know, that your brother dies and you say to the state, okay, you can you know, use his body as a gift for your organs and that. It's not that simple. It has to have been done. The donation has to have been done by the person, you know, the donor himself. You've got to register that. So be very careful with that as well. Don't just think you can donate a body part or a body at a later stage. They will ask your next of kin for consent. So your family's right to the body is very strong as well. So you can donate it, but you've got to make sure that, you know, it's done correctly. Medical schools, VITS, UCT, they always looking for bodies for anatomical donations. In other words, they hold the legal right to your remains for several years to teach students. Afterwards, they usually cremate you at the end when they finish, when they can't use it anymore. So, you know, it's very, very important that you have it correctly. If you're wanting to donate, make sure you do so. It's the same as a living will. You know, that's not just something that you can say on your deathbed, please, I don't want to be here anymore, let me go. You must have a living will to be able to switch off machines and that type of thing. So remember that those are separate to your will. They're not included in your will. It's a separate part of the will, a completely separate document, both organ and body donation and a living will. They don't form part of your will. You can't put it into your will. It's not the right place to do it. So, you know, if you've got an unnatural death, you're going to prolong the burial of the person concerned. You know, temporary ownership by the state, do they own the body at any stage? Yes, you know, where there's been a self-inflicted act or, you know, something, there might be a mandatory procedure, like when COVID hit, the COVID deaths could be investigated. The latest one that's hit, where the person was flown into Johannesburg, that body as well, you know, the state gets temporary ownership of it to examine it, to see what the disease is and where it has come from. So, you know, they have the right, the state's temporary ownership of that to make sure that they safeguard the people of South Africa is definitely there. If we go back again to an unnatural death, we spoke about that and we said, you know, that it must be reported, there must be a autopsy, and then what the next step is over there is that an inquest will always be held. So, you know, since way back, I'm not sure what year the Inquest Act came in, but it's a separate act. Anything that's an unnatural death, even if it's suicide, you know, even where there was no suspicion of foul play or assistance, you know, there's got to be an inquest. And that, of course, is controlled, first of all, by the South African Police Services. So they will take control of your body. In that particular instance, it's a temporary ownership by SAT. They will take it into their mortuary. And then, of course, the body at the state mortuary, a medical legal autopsy must be performed by, you know, the FPS, which is the Forensic Pathology Services. They've got to step in and they've got to do a proper autopsy on the body to ascertain exactly what it is. An interesting question there is that, you know, sometimes family come along and say, I don't want any autopsy or anything. I just want my family, my dad's body. We're going to bury it. We're not interested in what happened. Mm. No, you don't have a say, unfortunately. Right. You know, the consent factor is not there. Mm. The family cannot refuse an autopsy. You cannot come along and cover up for somebody. You know, I suppose there have been many cases where maybe the father or the mother has killed each other, and then the kids just say, we just want peace, please just leave our mother or father alone. My mother's gone through hell for years. Mm. Dad's gone. Let's remember him like we do. No, the South African Police Service, it's compulsory that an autopsy is done. So, you know, in a natural death of natural causes, yes, no problem at all. But where there's anything funny or suspicious, then the state has the right to investigate the cause of death, and that overrides anything. You know, religious objections, the body, you know, some of the religion that we have in the world, body must be buried before the next sun comes up. Body must be buried within 48 hours. Body must be cremated by the end of the week, and that type of thing. Those all fall away. You know, it's only once the forensic pathologist has completed his examination that you can have a right to the body, and that the release of the remains takes place to the executor or the next of kin. So, you know, the family only owns the body when it's cleared. That's what the point is that you need to remember. You don't have a right to possess the body for a funeral or a cremation unless it's a natural death and there are no reasons for any
suspicion of foul play.
Suspicion of foul play or anything like that, yeah. So, you know, when you look at it, if there's an unnatural death, yes, the state is going to investigate. It's for the state to make a case, to open a docket. And then the disposal will only happen once they are satisfied that there's a proper report and that type of thing. Then I did mention further that, you know, who has the body? Yes, it is the family member that's been appointed, or the executor, or the surviving spouse or life partner, the nearest blood relative or heir. Those are all the different people. There's no mandatory party that must take possession of the body. Those are all people that are entitled to come along, take the body, have it buried properly, see that there's a proper funeral and that type of thing. So, you know, a lot of people these days don't ever get married. They live together for years. Yes, that spouse has a right, and the children born of that marriage have a right with that spouse. You know, the siblings have a right to bury that person. Other than that, you know, the executor of the estate has a right as well. So basically, if you look at a death and who owns the body, the process from death to burial is that there must be a medical certification. A private doctor or a hospital staff member examines the body and issues the death certificate. And then the important thing there is that it must either say natural death or unnatural death. Depending on that, the next process from death to burial can be delayed. Once you've got that, the norm these days, well, not the norm, but it takes place, is that you'll have an undertaker that you're going to contact a funeral parlor or home. The home takes custody of the body and does everything else for you. Make sure that it's properly cleaned and put into a coffin, or, you know, sometimes it may not need a coffin if it's going to be cremated and that type of thing because the family can't afford it. But the undertaker is normally the person that will do that. The undertaker as well is a wonderful person to have because he will take all your documentation down to the Home Affairs section, issue the formal death certificate. So you've got to get that death certificate. So you get your birth certificate when you're born and you get your death certificate when you die. And that is necessary to dispose of the estate and report the estate afterwards. And all estates have to be reported. Whether the person has absolutely nothing or not, the register needs to remove him and it needs to be reported. So often people say he had nothing, no need to report, just going to cost us money. Don't be silly. It costs you nothing to get to Home Affairs and just report that Mr. X is deceased. And then, of course, you know, the state, can it take over natural bodies? Yes. As we mentioned earlier, unclaimed bodies, the National Health Act allows for that. And, you know, like I said as well, be careful of highly infectious, notifiable diseases. You know, fevers and that type of thing can dictate how the body is going to be handled. And that's very important that you recall that. So then we go to the one gap that there is in not the immediate family and that looking after it. And that's the South African, or not African, South African, but the African customary law. You know, that normally is extended and belongs to the extended family. In other words, the traditional family, not the spouse and children, unfortunately, with African law. The body is not considered property in the Western sense, you know, with the Western thought. It's a sacred entity in the eyes of African customary law, and possession thereof is to the extended family for the purpose of performing proper burial rites. And the most important belief is that the spirit is welcomed by the ancestors. That's why they do that one where the men get together, the women get together, you see the big tents that are up. Most people go home to the community where they come from. It involves the chief. It involves the family, you know, the paternal family or the maternal family. They normally have the say on the burial. So the home principle, they call it, comes into play. In other words, the body is expected to be returned to the ancestral home, overriding the wishes of the surviving spouse. You know, these days you get a lot of black and white marriages and things like that. Unfortunately, the ancestral part of it can take preference. But of course, the courts are also considering that the family should be consulted and listening to what takes place before just allowing the body to be taken away. But it's sad that you cannot have agreement with your body. So it's something, if you're listening today, make sure that you discuss it. If you come from an African customary background, make sure that you sit down with your family and you say to family, hey, you know, we know for sure that death is going to come one day. What are we going to do? Clear and clarify that. Put it into your will so that you make it a lot easier for the courts and the family and the people. You know, you've got a lot of people that don't return to their traditional homes anymore, sadly so. But you get a lot of people that retire these days and return there and build mansions. I mean, when you drive along the roads these days down to the Wild Coast and that, you'll see these huge areas with a main house and six or seven other houses because each family member has their own little sort of cottage on the land. You know, the people are able to afford and to buy or get land from the chief to expand it. So it's something that you must respect. I mean, myself personally, I dealt with African law for a long time, the old Bantu Affairs Court and things like that. It was a wonderful experience. It was a wonderful subject that I studied when I did my law degree. You know, the seduction and pregnancy part of it, the stick fights, the mob fights, you know, before you could marry, you had to give your lobola and things like that. It's all so interesting and okay, maybe ancient, as some people call it, an old-fashioned, but it's
still
it
tradition. It's a very ingrained tradition.
Yeah, it's there. Customary law, you know, it's a big thing. I mean, death in a traditional family is huge. Mm-hmm. You know, the people mourn. I mean, the lady walks around in black for weeks, days, and things like that. It's respect. That's all it is. Yeah. In my eyes, you know, it's what you call respect. The family respect what has taken place. You know, I had somebody once that said to me, "Ah, you know, that's a load of bull, man. That's just acting and, you know, getting leave and things like that." It's not. It's there.
It's the tradition of that community.
It's a tradition of that community. You can't take it away. It's a part of them, you know, that lives on forever, and that type of thing. Obviously, as well, quite clearly with African customary law, natural death versus suspicious death falls into place, the same as what we discussed in the main chat. There's no difference there. You know, the legal view and the right to investigation and all of that falls into there as well. So it's no different, and it must be respected. So, you know, when you summarize it again, the bodily body ownership is natural death, extended family, proper burial rights for ancestral transition, suspicious death, back to the police and the state, and a mandatory investigation, autopsy is necessary, cultural rights come after the state processes only, you know, it can't be done immediately. And, of course, maternal family also fits into it. It may be returned to the mother's family, excluding the husband as well,
right.
The body of the mother. So it depends. But it depends on, you know, how the parties are fitted into the African family that there is.
Yes. And how they integrate it.
Yeah. I mean, you know, like you get families where the people have been customary married for 60, 70 years, lived together, you know, I don't think that they're going to want to. They're basically seen as one joint after that lengthy period of time.
Right.
So, yeah, a very interesting subject. And something that you need to know, something that you need to discuss as a family.
And another one of those things that probably doesn't get discussed. You know, it's
one of those that you avoid. You know, people don't like to talk about death because they say, why talk about death? You know, some people say, oh, if you talk about death, death comes about. But no, it's so important. And what you've got there is, one, make sure that there's a will. Two, make sure that you know what's going to happen at death. You know, discuss it and put it in writing. As I say, in writing costs you nothing. Go see an attorney, let him help you so that it's done properly, so that there's
no,
you know, and the most important thing there is that in this day and age, divorce is so easy. You know, it's something that I really hate, because it's so easy to get divorced. And then you find that somebody was married for 10 years, has two or three kids from that marriage, and then has been married to the new person for 20, 30 years. And the kids from the first marriage still believe they have a say over their mother or father. And if you don't have it contained in the will, if you haven't discussed it as a family, there's something wrong.
Right.
You know, don't fight over the fact that mommy ran away with another man or daddy ran away with another woman. Come to your senses and just say, you know, this is an important aspect of our life.
And
one day,
need to sort
we
it
know
out.
Death is certain.
Right.
It's a certainty death. It's one thing that nobody's going to live forever, that's for sure. You don't know when it's going to happen, so the sooner you discuss it, the better.
The better.
Same as your will. Put it into writing and have it. Know where your documents are and make sure. You know, a lot of people as well say that they believe that it's secretive. That's fine. Come to an attorney. We put it in our fireproof safe for you, and it's safe there. And you just tell the family, my will is that, you know, ex-attorneys. Then everybody knows what's happening in your world.
Right. And Peter, wrapping it up, if somebody wants to get in touch with you, maybe they've sort of now had triggered thoughts and they need to get things sorted out, how do they get in touch with Alums?
Yes, they can find us at 6 Sansom Road in Berea, telephone 043-7211-010. And, of course, the easiest way is just to like us on Facebook and join our Facebook page. And you'll find all our details there, and you can message there to make an appointment. Phone us. We're ready to see you at any time. And, of course, as I always say, last but not least, on Wild Coast FM, they'll find all our details as well and details of the weekly chats that we have. Yeah.
Peter, thank you very, very much. A very interesting topic, and have a good week, and we'll chat again next week Monday.
Thank you, Wayne.
Thanks, Peter.
All the best for the week.
Same to you. Cheerio then. That's Peter Allam with today's Legal Eagle Chat. Brings us